The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Now, following on its success in London, Fawlty Towers, the play, is coming to Dublin. The play, comprising of three adapted episodes of the 1970s show, will be in the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre from the 28th of July till the 1st of August. And I am delighted to say that we are joined now by the brilliant John Cleese, who has adapted the play for stage. John, you are so welcome to The Hard Shoulder. I have to start off by saying I'm a lifelong fan. I first came across you when my older brother Declan had the vinyl LP of the Holy Grail, and we used to quote it all the time. This is back in Ireland in the 70s and the 80s. We just had sound. We didn't have any photos, and we would go around saying things like, "'Tis but a flesh wound," with great gusto. We didn't even see the film for years.
It's amazing how many people say that. And I had a mild bit of surgery on my hand, on my arm, actually, because it was one of those precancerous things which you just take off as a precaution. And after he'd taken it off and sewed it up, he said to me, "'Tis but a scratch."
But in fairness to you, you must be one of the most quoted comedic writers of all time. And I'm thinking of things like, and we say them in daily parlance, we say things like, "Well, what do the Romans ever do for us?" Or we say splitters, or, you know, things like that. They have lasted the test of time.
He's not the Messiah, he's a very naughty boy, everyone's saying that. Yeah, it's a tremendous compliment, because years ago I looked in the Oxford Book of Humorous Quotations and I found a few of the funny things that Peter Cook had said, but almost nothing of other comedians at all. It was all quotes of literary humour, most of which wasn't that funny. And it kind of irritated me. And then I realised that certain of our phrases had passed into the English-speaking language. And that makes me feel terrific. I love the idea that people are still quoting lines that they find funny from the films.
You know, even today when we were saying in the office that you were coming on, people all around the office, and these are people in their 20s now, we're quoting Monty Python.
This is very encouraging, because you see, the BBC have not put Monty Python out for 20 years. And when I mentioned this a few years ago, people said, "Well, they don't have the rights." And I had to point out to them, if you want a show, you have to buy the rights, you see. Nobody gives them to you. You have to actually go out and buy them.
Well,
for 20 exactly. years, kids, nobody in England has seen Monty Python on the BBC because they don't show it. Now, I think it's because they don't have anything at the moment that's as funny as that. And they're a bit embarrassed to put out something made all that time ago that's actually funnier than what they can do now, which is not the fault of the writers and not the fault of the performers. It's because the executives have, in my opinion, no idea what they're doing.
And of course, back in 2000, speaking of funny, Fawlty Towers was voted greatest British sitcom of all time. And I was going to ask you about that, because obviously we're here to talk about the new stage show adaptation that is coming to the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre here for the last week of July. Well, has it always been a huge pressure on you? I mean, Monty Python is considered one of the greatest comedies of all time. Fawlty Towers, perhaps
not really,
the greatest.
You know, When Connie and I started Fawlty Towers, we never thought for a moment that it would ever compare with Monty Python. We just did something that we found was funny. And people are slow to grasp it. But when they do, then they loved it. And I was rather disappointed that the BBC never put Python out again, because it means that a whole generation of younger people don't really know about it. You know, any young person, if they hear my name, they think, "Oh yes, he did the voice in Shrek."
That's true, they do actually.
Yes, that's right. And the other thing they know me from is Harry Potter. I was in Harry Potter for 36 years. Seconds if you add the two performances together. And this is what I'm now remembered for.
I would suggest you're remembered rather for considerably more. But I know that the new stage show, it's been getting rave reviews, but it also, you've put sort of three episodes together of Fawlty Towers.
That's right.
Famously, the Germans. You've got the inspector.
We've got the Germans. We've got Mrs. Richards, the hearing aid. And
yes.
We've got The one that Bernard Cribbins, bless the dear man, was so funny, and the hotel inspector. And we put those together, and they sort of dovetail, and then there's a very clever ending, which I didn't come up with. And what I love was that people weren't just laughing. They were rocking backwards and forwards when they were laughing. And it's so good for us when we laugh like that.
And,
you know?
And it is, but interestingly, I was interested that you chose the Germans because, my late parents would have gone around saying things like, don't mention the war. We all grew up with this, but it got a bit of a backlash in the last while, and it was pulled for a while. And
yeah,
a trigger
this
warning.
Is all this. Yeah.
Did you deliberately put that in to sort of defy your critics?
No, I deliberately put it in to make people laugh, because here was a man, Basil, who in the 70s was still stuck back in 1945. That was the joke. And that he couldn't get away from it. He sees a German, he immediately thinks Hitler. You know, that was, he was stuck in the past. But the whole idea that the woke people have done a lot of damage. It does a great deal of good for us to laugh. And they've made it very, very difficult for comedians, because comedians, if they think, oh, am I going to get upset by this, or am I going to get upset if I say that? Nothing is more destructive to creativity than that. I mean, the whole point is that all humor is critical. If you're with somebody who's perfect and who's wise and nice and kind and gentle and funny, there's nothing funny about them. We laugh at people's faults. That's what we laugh at.
We all loved here in Ireland, by the way, David Kelly, who played O'Reilly the Builder, Irish cowboy builder. We all quite enjoyed that here. I don't think we were remotely offended by that.
Well, of course not. And the audience that comes to my shows, they only come because they like my humour. They don't buy tickets if they don't like me. And they're completely unbothered by this kind of thing. And these woke people, in my opinion, are vastly oversensitive.
No, I think many people would probably agree with you. I know that you've been very involved in this adaptation of Fawlty Towers for the stage. There is also talk, of course, of an adaptation of the life of Brian. Could you see that happening?
Oh, yes. So the script is there. The script could be performed tomorrow. But the problem at the moment, and people naturally don't understand this, is in the old days, there were a lot of plays in the West End, and they used to run for 6-9 months, really good plays by, Simon Gray and David Hare and people like that. Now, the West End is full of family-oriented musicals. Mm-hmm. Very nice, very good, very warm, and they all run for years. And the trouble now is getting a theatre that's going to be empty and able to take another show.
And sometimes you're compared to the modern day comic Ricky Gervais with The Office, that the fact that there was only 12 episodes of Fawlty Towers, you didn't go back, you didn't, you know, you never over-egged it, you never sort of dragged it out or tried to flog it beyond its sort of
perfect number of things.
Was that a deliberate choice?
The main reason was that Connie and I both felt we'd done our best. We couldn't do anything that was better. If we did another series, people would say, oh, it was very good, but it wasn't as good as the first two series. Well, what's the point of doing it then?
I was at the O2 Arena in 2014 for your reunion, the Monty Python reunion.
Oh, really?
I was, yes. Monty Python Mostly Live. Would you ever envisage the remaining Pythons, getting back together and doing something again?
Well, we'd have to dig most of them up.
Sorry.
I'm all for people rising again on the third day, but I don't think we could do that with
you. You are a very naughty boy. That's what you are. But could you see it with yourself and Michael Palin? Would there be appetite there, do you think?
Well, there's fake chat about doing something in this autumn. Gilliam and Terry Gilliam and yeah. Michael and me. But I think it would be more a question of talking about what we've done. And, you know, I'd love to interview Terry Gilliam and ask him questions about his movies, you know.
The Fisher King and all. I mean, he made some incredible movies people don't always realize.
Incredible. And it would be lovely to sort of show a clip and say, well, what is that? What was the problem there? And everybody would be interested in that because they're fond of the originals and we could all talk about comedy quite interestingly. So we might do something like that, but I don't think any of us can risk trying to learn lines.
Can I ask you one last question? I know that there have been trigger warnings put on some of your work. What do you make of that?
It's oversensitivity and it's people protecting other people. They don't say I'm so offended by it. There are other people over there who are not as sophisticated as we are, who are being offended, and you shouldn't offend them. And I would say, yes, but the same things are giving other people lots and lots and lots of laughter and happiness and joy and pleasure. So why do the other ones who get upset just not watch the program? Yeah. And when people say, well, I was offended, and I say, well, but there's a nice easy chair over there. Why don't you go up there and sit in it and be offended for a bit? And when you recover, let's get on with life.
John Cleese, I'm absolutely delighted to have gotten to speak to you today. And I look forward to going, in fact, to Fawlty Terrace, the play, which is, of course, coming to Dublin the last week in July at the Bordgosh.
I hope you'll be rocking in your seat. I really do.
I expect I'll be crying. I expect that's what I'll be crying with mirth.
That's even better. That's even, crying with laughter is even better.
Thank you so much, John.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.